views expressed on the following program are not necessarily those of this station, staff, or management. The following pre-recorded program is sponsored by Tabes Tech, LLC. This is Pro Business Colorado with your host, Dave Tabor, on News Talk 710 KNUS.
Welcome to Pro Business Colorado with Dave Tabor on 710 KNUS. Pro Business Colorado with Dave Tabor is a show about spirit, the spirit of opportunity created by people who could be successful anywhere and choose to start and grow their businesses here in Colorado. It's different here in Colorado, whether it's having a business meeting during a bike ride or the special kind of collaboration that goes on here. I get jazzed talking with dynamic people, with interesting businesses, and with subject matter experts who get that Colorado is special. All my guests are people who inspire me and who can inspire you and offer ideas to help us succeed in business. And today I'll be visiting with the leaders of two Colorado-based medical technology companies that are global leaders in their fields. Heather Callender Potters is co-chairman and global business development officer at PharmaJet, a Golden-based inventor and distributor of needle-free injection devices for vaccine delivery. It was approved by the FDA in 2014. Welcome. Thanks for being here with me, Heather.
Thanks. Super to be here.
Yeah, also joined by John Kelly, CEO of Seroscan, also a Colorado-based company. They're doing functional brain diagnostics, pretty heady stuff, right? So anyway, happy to have you with us as well, John. Thanks for being here.
Thank you, Dave.
And one of you sits on the board of the other, right? So
Heather, we're fortunate to have Heather on Seroscan's board. She's very active and a very contributing board member.
And so we're going to talk about that relationship. We're also going to be talking about the process of inventing and bringing to market a medical device that's changing health at a global level. PharmaJet's at the core of treating, for example, treating the Zika virus. So we'll talk about that. We'll also talk about fundraising, particularly about raising early stage funding from what's become known as family offices. Those are private wealth advisory firms that that serve an affluent individual or family. And Heather, you and I have talked in the past, and you have a particular skill at doing that, right? So we'll talk about what you do that others could learn from along those lines. Hey, be sure to check out the Pro Business Colorado podcast. Today's show is going to be available online on Monday. Had some tremendous shows in the past, so this show and others will be available via iTunes or straight from my website at proco360.com. Again, that's proco360.com. So let's get started with Heather Callender Potters of PharmaJet and John Kelly of Seroscan. Thanks to you both for being here. Should we dive in?
Let's go.
Ready to go.
All right. So let's start with PharmaJet. And Heather, tell us about the company, how it started, and what you're doing now.
So we have a needle-free injection technology where we form a fast fluid stream that goes into your muscle or your skin.
And you brought one. Can I just
hold
that?
Sure, that's our injector.
Oh, it's heavier than I expected.
And it's got a spring that's custom wound. So if you think about fluid dynamics, you turn your hose on. If you turn the volume up, it goes straighter, faster. Mm-hmm. We create a perfect liquid stream that goes into your body in less than a tenth of a second, and it's about the size of two human hairs.
Without any, right, you don't have to, it breaks the skin essentially, but not the way a needle does.
Correct. A very fine hole and really, really fast.
And for most people, almost pain-free.
In many cases, people don't feel much of anything, but in truth, what we're injecting actually sometimes stings. So it's more the vaccine that goes into the body versus the experience.
So now paint the picture of how this is sort of revolutionizing delivery of vaccines.
Well, when we started, it was about getting rid of needles and needle stick testing, the pass along disease of up to 20 bloodborne pathogens and reuse, which is a big problem in certain parts of the world. But then it also became about making sure that more people would show up for their vaccines, right? People mm-hmm. avoid needles because they don't like that experience. And then one of the trends we saw in the early days is that potentially we could make certain vaccines work much better than through needle delivery. And if you look at where we are today, indeed, we've proven a lot of that out.
Well, okay, so what does that mean? When we talked, you said that sometimes a vaccine only needs to have maybe 10% of the dosage that it would have had through a needle. Is that right?
Well, when we started to work in animals, we had to dial down the force and the volume of what we were injecting. And we arrived at something called intradermal delivery. And science at about the same time discovered that the body's immune system is largely in your barriers. So if you flood the skin, which is about a 1.5 to 3 millimeter space of tissue, you can hyperstimulate the immune response. So you massively cut the dose. It usually is about 80% dose reduction, and you can achieve the same immune response generally as a full dose of that same vaccine.
So that makes you, does it make you the enemy of the pharmaceutical companies? I mean, come on, if you're selling 80% less of their product, does that create a bit of a discomfort?
Well, we were a little bit naive in the beginning. Like, wouldn't it be great if we could cut your production costs or you could serve more population?
Mm-hmm.
And that mantra is still the same. So as an example, we're part of the polio eradication initiative where there's a vaccine shortage. The oral drops have a live virus. We have to move to the injectable, which is 90 times more expensive, and you need three doses.
Yep.
And we can stretch the vaccine doses. We can cut the cost of delivery, and gosh, push and click, anyone can do it. Mm-hmm. And we get rid of needles in the environment.
All right. What I'm missing here is that the ability to convey just how big a deal this is, right? I mean, you're really shifting a whole method. I mean, John, when you think about what PharmaJet's doing and how they're changing the way the world approaches vaccinations, I mean, how big a deal is this?
Well, from my perspective, it's huge. And I think anybody who looks at the kinds of things that PharmaJet are doing will come to the same conclusion, that worldwide it has a potential to have major impact in a variety of ways, from malaria to eradication of polio. You pick it. It's gigantic.
I mean, here's a little, PharmaJet was started in Golden, Colorado, right? A little company. So here's this little company. And so often you hear about little companies that are started, and maybe when the CEO decides to go out and raise money, we're going to change the world. This, paint a picture. I mean, how big can this be? And what's the chance this will actually be big?
Well, I'll start at the beginning, which was actually, it was a business my mother and I co-founded. And we quickly decided that we weren't going to admit that we were related, because when we walked in and said, try it, you'll like it, we know it's going to work. We lacked credibility. We just had this tremendous vision. And my whole family on one side, including my mother, has been in healthcare forever. So it was the passion of, we're going to approach vaccine delivery, getting rid of the risk of pass along disease through reuse and needle stick. And we had a big partner, which was the World Health Organization. And as our relationships progressed and some of the early developments in our technology demonstrated that indeed we could do what we planned and also potentially make vaccines work better, credibility grew. But it's a big job, and it's been a decade.
Well, thanks. I'm speaking with Heather Potter. Heather Potter's from PharmaJet, also with John Kelly of Seraskin. I'm Pro Business Colorado with Dave Tabor. We're going to come back. We're going to talk about this whole idea of building a medical device from scratch. Pro Business Colorado with Dave Tabor will be back after this.
News Talk 710, KNUS.
Pro Business Colorado with me, Dave Tabor, is a show featuring world-class entrepreneurs who could be successful anywhere and choose to be here in Colorado. Sign up at proco360.com for announcements of each week's guests, to suggest guests, and to find past shows featuring successful entrepreneurs and business experts, all whose souls are grounded here in Colorado. Again, that's proco360.com to sign up, proco360.com.
Pro Business Colorado with Dave Tabor, Sunday mornings at 8 on News Talk 710 KNUS.
Hey there, Dan Cicchini, owner of Dunright Kitchens and Baths, Windows and Doors. There's absolutely no reason why right now can't be your time to get started on that beautiful new kitchen or that awesome bath you've always wanted. See what our family can do for your family. 800-362-8370.
Question, would you seat your 3-year-old child on a windowsill? And would you seat them in a car seat that's not the correct one? Secure their future. Seat them in the correct car seat. More info at safercar.gov/the right seat. A message from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Thanks for calling Newbiotics. Are you calling for a free trial of our belly flattening breakthrough?
Actually, I already got the free trial. It totally flattened my belly.
Wow, that's great news.
But now I have a problem I never thought I'd have. My belly just keeps getting flatter. I mean, I don't want to look like a runway model, but I don't want to stop taking Newbiotics either, because seriously, I've never looked this good.
Well, here's one thing you can do. Only take Newbiotics every other day. That'll keep up your results without making your belly too flat. And if you ever need to ramp up your belly flattening results again, just go back to taking it every day.
To get your free trial of New Biotics, call 1-800-900-6110. You're going to love how you look. And if your belly flattening results are too dramatic, simply reduce use to every other day. But hurry and call now for details while they're still giving it away for free. Call 1-800-900-6110. That's 1-800-900-6110. 1-800-900-6110.
Now, back to Pro Business Colorado with Dave Tabor on News Talk 710. KNUS.
Welcome back to Pro Business Colorado with Dave Tabor on 710 KNUS. I'm currently visiting with the leaders of two Colorado-based medical technology companies that are global leaders in their fields, speaking with Heather Callender-Potters, co-chairman and global business development officer at PharmaJet, and John Kelly, CEO of Seriscan, a Colorado-based functional brain diagnostics company. Now, before we continue the conversation, I want to thank our sponsors, Community Banks of Colorado and MicroStar Keg Logistics. Both of these are great companies that support Colorado's entrepreneurial community. I appreciate them quite a bit. Remember, Pro Business Colorado with Dave Tabor is a show about entrepreneurs and experts who could be successful anywhere and choose to start and grow their business here in Colorado. So back to Heather Potters and John Kelly. So when we just before we went to the break, I teased the next segment by saying, here's how we're going to how did you start? How did you invent it? Heather, you had said that you were working with your mother, but how did the idea of actually building this pretty substantial device, where did that come from? Because what I'm holding is maybe it looks kind of like a handheld microphone in a way, right, with an injector thing at the top. But
Yeah, well, it's just to describe it, we have a syringe. We call it a syringe because it doesn't have a needle. It has a very fine hole at the very end. And together, when you couple it with the injector and you push on the release button, it releases essentially the energy to deliver the immunization. But thinking about, why it is that we did what we did, I kind of describe us as the hybrid car. We've all been driving cars for a long time, and we just happen to be the hybrid. So getting things into the body has been a task that scientists have wanted to pursue for 100 years. And 50 years ago, 60 years ago, a big old pneumatic technology was developed to deliver liquid immunizations into the body. But because it was metal-tipped and it went from person to person, often contributing...
Metal-tipped meaning a needle?
No, it was just a fluid path that went from the vaccine vial through a hole that was essentially a method of coming up next to your arm and delivering that injection. Mm-hmm. That constant force lacerated tissue and therefore often contributed hepatitis from patient to patient. Mm. So it was banned from use in the 1980s, a very long hiatus. And then the WHO found that there were 40 to 70% of needles being reused, even up to 150 times each in certain countries. And there was a big call out, kind of like for Ebola. Could somebody please develop something that has no external power source, simple, inexpensive, the syringe auto disables after each use. And we rose to that occasion.
Hmm. And so... to invent that, what was the kind of quickly, what was the process of inventing, what I'm now holding in my hand?
It was a long iterative process, but it was the concept of modulating the force of delivery with a spring that was new. And then range finding in a variety of animal species, gel tests, ballistic tests, histology studies. And as we fine tuned essentially our prototypes, that was the point where we were able to machine the parts and demonstrate that it all worked together.
So had you ever invented some medical device before?
No, it was new to me.
Wow. So that's kind of a crazy undertaking.
It is. And I'm not an engineer. We have a whole bunch of smart people.
Did you hire engineers or did you actually try to create something in your basement?
I call him our chief wizard, the individual who helped us in the very beginning.
So you did. You did hire somebody who...
We did.
So you came to somebody, an expert, and you must have had some money and to initiate this, right? Did you set aside a chunk of money and said, look, we're going to try and invent this for $100,000 or whatever the number was?
We did, and we did our budget, and we're really frugal. But it was initially my family money, my money. And then as we started to become more successful... I spread out to my fellow co-investors. We all ran private equity funds in our day jobs, but we invested in other companies on the side. And before you know it, it grew from there to today I've raised $54 million from high net worth individuals and family offices.
Wow. We're going to talk about that, the fundraising piece, in a little bit. I want to shift gears a little bit to our other guests, because I've been speaking with Heather Calendar Potters of PharmaJet. I want to shift gears because we've also got John Kelly of Seriscan here in the studio. And John, Seriscan did something similar. I mean, you're changing the way particular medical practice is done worldwide now, right? And can you explain what Seriscan is, how it works, and maybe how you've changed that whole paradigm?
Well, one of our objectives was to combine neurological, psychiatric, radiology information to the benefit of the patient, or to the benefit of the treating physician. So data is one way to do that, and another one is imaging and other kinds of things that might provide interesting information for the brain. So our objective was to tie together the best available testing, imaging, to combine it together so that you have the most precise diagnosis of your brain issues.
What kinds of things are you applying that to?
Well, traumatic brain injury would be the one that people would understand the most. So clearly, the science is to the point where you can visualize, measure, and locate where a chronic traumatic brain injury is in the brain.
Okay, let me back it away a little bit. Can you share a really, really specific example of the kind of patient that benefited from what you do at Seriscan that might not have otherwise had a solution?
Well, let's use a military person, and he was on 60 Minutes, and we can use his name. Mm-hmm. His name is Ben Richards, lives in Council Bluff, Iowa, a noted Army officer, experienced two very significant blasts in Iraq. His brain was impacted greatly by the second one, and after 4 years of treatment at Walter Reed and others, they basically said, you're going to be living with this the rest of your life. He ended up at Seriscan. We were able to show where that damage was. So, in fact, he did. But because we're able to measure and locate it, some innovative doctors from around the country said, I think we can attack that problem. And what he is reporting today after doctor treatment is he is back pretty much to his full capabilities in life, and, in fact, is going to Kansas State as a PhD candidate in history.
Well, all right, so let me probe a little more deeply on that. So Seriscan created the brain imaging, right? And then did surgeons then go after what they found and actually operate on the brain to fix the problems that were discovered?
Yeah, so more precisely, a picture of a brain is great, but so are measurements and all the other factors that might contribute to that problem, pharmaceutical usage, so on and so forth. And once you know what a problem is, then you have a chance to attack it. So as it relates to brain injuries, surgery is a pretty dangerous process. So coming at it with other innovative techniques to repair that brain, we're clearly showing that there can be things that are done that are non-invasive. In other words, not going into the brain itself.
And this is something that makes Seriscan different, unique?
In the world.
Wow.
Oddly enough, today we are the best at combining all this information to set the table for the proper treatment processes for certain brain disorders.
So now are people just throwing millions of dollars at you saying, hallelujah, you're here?
You know, funny that you brought that up. They're not throwing, but we're not having any trouble getting investors to come in. And much like Heather, they tend to be family office people who want to make a difference with their money. So we have a great network of investors like that.
Well, let's talk about that, since you both brought up the notion of raising money. And Heather, you mentioned 50 some million dollars from either family offices. These are closely held family owned companies that are investing money. John, you said something that I didn't realize. Are most family offices, people who are investing in companies like that, are they trying to invest in ways that help mankind typically? You said do something good with their money. That's not necessarily the case with these investors, is it?
I think actually more and more it's a trend, but it's also not just family offices. So there's a qualification of what a high net worth individual accredited investor would be. Someone who has a greater net worth greater than $1 million and makes more than a couple hundred thousand dollars in income. Those individuals who have discretionary investment capability are interested in helping companies where they find an interest in what that company's doing. And that tends to be an earlier stage round, and yet that concept has continued on now with family offices, where typically they used to invest in venture capital funds, mm-hmm. and they're actually now going directly. And in part, it's because they're embracing what's meaningful to them in their investment capacity.
Well, there are certain large foundations that will do that as well and help shepherd money from wealthy individuals into certain investments, too. But they're not generally involved in things like venture capital and such, are they?
Foundations tend to have legal limitations, tax limitations on investment. And so it is not the largest of the avenues. Yeah, it's more the discretionary investment capital.
So how does somebody go, and Heather, you and I have talked about this in the past. I mean, it's really nice once you have a great network to be able to reach out to someone you know is capable of investing seven or eight figures into a business. Right now, you're in a position to actually go knock on someone's door and say, here's what we're doing, here's what we need. Startup entrepreneurs really can't do that very effectively, can they?
I think that it takes demonstrated credibility of the product and credibility of the individuals that are at the top. I've invested in every single round that I've raised, and I have a significant amount of my net worth involved. So I think that gives comfort to people that I will see this through. I'm determined and tenacious.
Yeah.
But it's also that it's a measured approach to every single round. What we did, what we're doing next, why we need the money, where it's going, what kind of return is it supposed to produce for the shareholders?
Well, and that's probably a message for anybody raising any money, isn't it? To create those sorts of benchmarks and metrics. I mean, you mentor, John, you mentioned earlier that during a break that you mentor a lot of startups, entrepreneurs and such. I mean, is that the kind of advice that you give them around how to raise money?
Well, absolutely. For 10 years, I've been involved almost on a quarterly basis of working with startups and having been an investor who had some net worth that allowed me to do that, and then running a company from the bootstrap, I think it gives you a good perspective and an ability to look somebody in the eye and say, we can help you, or here's what you need to look out for, or here are mm-hmm. things that work.
Well, you've both got some financial means, and both of you have talked about investing your own money and so forth. What, you know, does that make you different from a startup entrepreneur or somebody who's trying to raise money for the first time who doesn't have deep pockets? Is there something that to be learned from you that they should know, or are they just in a different place altogether?
Well, I think in part it also is environment. And again, there's nothing like friends and family and committing that you're going to see this through and the little bits of money that make a difference in the beginning. But in the Colorado community, there are a number of people that are reasonably well off, but I wouldn't necessarily say that they're ultra wealthy, that actually put money into deals or pool their money. So two examples, which John would know well, would be Rockies Venture Club and Thai Rockies. Each of us have been both on the investment side in those areas as investors, and we've also been recipients of funds from investor groups that are part of those formulations.
Have either of you gone to one of these presentations where you're listening to, you know, 10 pitches and actually then written a check?
I have.
I have too.
Really?
Yeah.
So give an example of one of those.
Well, an example here would be P2BI. They're a crowd.
Krista, yeah, I know Krista.
You know Krista. Yeah. A crowd-funded platform for lending that fits just above where the banks are today. I probably have four or five investments that I've done in the last 18 to 24 months.
From listening to pitches at these relatively public forums.
In some respects, it's the pitch, but it's also about the networking effect. People regularly ask me, could you help so-and-so, right? Mm-hmm. And I feel a little bit like a traffic director. And from time to time, I do put money into things that I think have merit, but also where I feel like I can actually make a contribution besides just funding.
Well, when we come back, we'll continue that conversation around fundraising. In fact, there's a guy that I'm a big fan of named Orrin Claff, wrote a book called Pitch Anything, and I want to talk about that and get your take on it. This is Pro Business Colorado with Dave Tabor. We'll be back after this break.
CBS News Update. Protesters outside President Donald Trump's Mar-a-Lago resort don't want his travel ban on visitors from seven mostly Muslim countries. A Seattle judge Friday stopped that ban, and in a midnight ruling, another court refused to overturn that ruling. The Justice Department wanted that. So travel can continue, William Stock is an immigration attorney.
What the State Department had done was put a temporary hold on all of the visas worldwide, as the judge has ordered that they have to continue allowing people to the United States. The State Department has reversed that provisional revocation and is allowing people to use the visas that were previously vetted and issued to them.
Which means an Iranian baby who needs a life-saving operation will be able to come to Portland, Oregon to get it. This is Dr. Dana Brander.
Dornbecker Children's Hospital is now 90 years old. In that 90 years, we've never turned away a child, and we never expect to.
CBS News Update. I'm Mike Sugarman.
Hi, it's Peter Boyles. Have a great weekend, Super Bowl weekend. Go Tom Brady. Monday morning, we get after it. Great book, I Heard You Paint Houses, about the murder of Jimmy Hoffa by organized crime. It's a true story. It's a good one. I'll see you Monday on 710 KNUS.
Peter Boyles, weekdays from 5 to 9 on News Talk 710 KNUS.
Hey, everybody. Mike Ball, host of the restaurant shows on News Talk 710 KNUS. Every Saturday, 3 to 5, every Sunday, 10 o'clock until noon, inviting you to join me. We take your calls. We give away gift certificates. We talk about the ever-changing Front Range restaurant scene. We talk with restaurant owners. We talk with chefs. We also do lunch munches. We also do supper clubs, where I invite you to join me at a restaurant, and we get you some great meals and great deals. All the information is always on my website at MikeBoyle.com, but join me Saturdays 3 to 5 and Sundays 10 to noon on News Talk 710 KNUS.
This is a life-changing message for anyone with sleep apnea who is on the go and tired of dragging around a big, bulky home CPAP device. Now there's finally a portable device that's as small as a soda can and weighs less than a pound. You can even add a battery that's as tiny as a deck of cards. It's the Transcend Mini CPAP. And if you're one of the first 100 callers, you can try Transcend risk-free for 10 days. So call now. 1-800-400-9121. Transcend is the world's first portable mini CPAP device. It gives you the freedom to sleep in total comfort anywhere you are. Our smallest and most advanced portable design ever, Transcend is so small and so light, you can fit it in your briefcase or purse to use anywhere you go. It's FAA compliant too, so you can even sleep comfortably while flying. To guarantee your 10-day in-home trial, you must be one of the first 100 callers to call minicpap.com now. 1-800-400-9121. Again, that's 1-800-400-9121.
Hi, it's Hugh Hewitt for Ridgegate Financial. Are you ready to retire? Do you have a plan for when the paychecks stop? My friend Wally Smith at Ridgegate Financial can help. Income planning is one of the five keys to a successful retirement. You've worked hard and you've saved, but now you need a very specific plan for when you access your Social Security and use each of your retirement assets. For your free Social Security analysis and personal retirement review, call Wally Smith at 303-PLANNER. That's 303-752-6637. 303-752-6637. Ridgegate Financial creates retirement plans to help make your retirement everything you've dreamed of, not just 20 to 30 years of unemployment. Your personal retirement plan will help you sail through stock market corrections, crashes even, with confidence. You need a plan for when the paychecks stop. For your free Social Security and personal retirement review, call Wally Smith at 303-PLANNER. That's 303-752-6637 or visit RidgegateFinancial.com.
We now return to Pro Business Colorado with Dave Tabor on News Talk 710 KNUS.
Welcome back to Pro Business Colorado with Dave Tabor on 710 KNUS. Also available via podcast at, via iTunes at Pro Business Colorado or via SoundCloud or straight from my website at proco360.com. And I'm currently visiting with the leaders of two Colorado-based medical technology companies that are global leaders in their field. Heather Callender Potters is co-chairman and global business development officer at PharmaJet, which is a Golden, Colorado-based inventor and distributor of needle-free injection devices for vaccine delivery. Also joined by John Kelly, the CEO of Saroscan, which is a Colorado-based functional brain diagnostics company. John sits on the board of PharmaJet. Heather sits on the board of Saroscan. So, hey, thanks to our sponsors, too, Community Banks of Colorado and MicroStar Keg Logistics. Happy to have both of them supporting the Colorado entrepreneurial community. And let's continue the conversation. And when we took a break, we were talking about funding. And even that both of you have actually helped fund companies based on pitches that you've been to, you know, sort of large pitches. There's a guy named Orrin Claff, I mentioned before at the last break, who wrote a book called Pitch Anything, has a kind of a different spin on how to make a big presentation. I'm interested in your take on it. First, let's play this clip of Orrin Claff. Go for it.
People want what they can't have. They chase that which moves away from them, and they only value that which they pay for. Attention equals convincing power.
So Orrin Claff's whole approach about raising money is you've got to get and seize attention. And he just sent something this morning that I got via email where he says, unlike on Shark Tank, in the real world, investors do not rip you apart. And he warns against things like about what happens when they lose interest when you're making a pitch. And he said that it's really contrary to what you might think. He said when they smile and laugh and give you encouragement, that's a bad sign. When they ask easy questions, that's a bad sign. When they get overly interested in little details of your product, it's a bad sign. He said instead of laughing or instead of joking with you, people ought to be leaning forward and concentrating. You know, that instead of asking questions on irrelevant facts or things like that, they should be taking like pictures of what you're doing. I mean, that's his take, is you must get and attract attention. What's your take on that? You've done it many times.
I have to say, I kind of disagree.
So let's hear your take. That's okay. Yeah. I'm interested in your take on that.
I think you have to be genuine, and not everything is perfect, but you have to establish your vision. And then you have to back it up. So I find that when people begin asking questions and are curious, that means that they're engaged. And I never seek to kind of trick someone into thinking that it's all going to work out, because the grand plan that we have is a tall order, and we're well advanced. But it has to do with reading somebody's personality. Do they have a short attention span? Do they want to go in depth? And making a personal approach to what suits them for their investment purpose.
So the ones that have attracted your investment, the pitches that have attracted you, both invested based on entrepreneurs sort of laying it out there and saying, here's why you should, right? What's caught your attention? And when you think about the ones that you've actually invested, John Kelly of Saroscan, when you've actually made decisions to, what's caught your attention?
Well, my view, and it may not be the end-all be-all, but I like to see the kinds of people I'm investing in. So the pitch, I would agree with the quality of the pitch. That sort of grab your attention, is there some more meat there? But it's the quality of the individual. And I would argue that great ideas without a good staff, a good leader, is prone to failure. And that's evidenced by the rate of failure, I think, in the startup world. So you invest in people, and products come with it.
Can you tell when you're listening to a first-time entrepreneur if this is somebody that is going to make it? Or you, Heather's nodding. Go, jump right in.
I think you can. I think because I come from a private equity background, I'm able to drill more deeply. And you get to a stage where if somebody's making it up, you know. What I appreciate is when somebody says, actually, I don't know the answer to that question, but I know who does.
But there are some questions they ought to know. Like, what's a question you ask many times? And people, if they're asking for money, they ought to know the answer, and they don't.
Well, there are different business cases. So both John and I have businesses that are not the cookie stand on the corner, right? We have
pretty complex.
A significant investment in business technologies that need to be cultivated before they can ever become profitable or mainstream. But if I give you a real example of how I came to know Saroscan and become an investor, I actually took the tour where I wanted to find out actually what was in my brain. And I had some traumatic brain injury experiences as a young kid. And it was every single step of validation for me to see the technology at work. And then realize with my investor hat on and the vision of the people running Saroscan, what they could do with that over a period of time. And that's why I invested. And I tend to be an investor that's more comfortable in those kinds of places versus something that's that doesn't have a defendable position may be easier to get started. Mm-hmm. But at the end, if there's no defendable position, it just means you can be run over really quickly by somebody else.
Well, is that also a little dangerous to, I mean, here you are, you went on a tour, you had your own brain scanned. I mean, now you start becoming emotionally and personally engaged. I suppose that's a double-edged sword, isn't it?
As a private individual and having raised money from private individuals, it becomes very personal. It is your money. You're signing up for very specific risk, but you're signing up for a relationship. It's kind of like getting married, right? For better, for worse.
Yeah.
Versus a public market investment where it's arbitrary, no hard feelings if you sell your stock tomorrow.
Yeah.
It's also about being an investor for the long haul. And because of my investment background and running closed-end funds, I'm used to that there's going to be some good days, some bad days. But as long as we stay on the trajectory of the grand plan, mm-hmm. then that's what it's all about.
Well, speaking about grand plan, I was super impressed at what you state as your mission for PharmaJet. It's actually kind of like a vision. And I got it in my notes. Basically, your mission, your vision is that there is worldwide acceptance of PharmaJet needle-free devices as a standard of care in the vaccine delivery market. I mean, that's a pretty big vision, right? And all entrepreneurs start like thinking they're going to change, well, almost all, not all, but most, they want to change the world. And by the way, if you've just joined us, I'm asking the question of Heather Callender Potters of PharmaJet, also joined here by John Kelly, CEO of Seriscan. But I mean, that's a pretty big vision.
It is, but if you take into account that we can deliver an injection without a needle, get rid of needle stick testing, treatment liability, reuse, and capture every bit of vaccine in the vial so you get extra doses, you plow back that into the equation and you make a positive return on every immunization back for the user, mm-hmm. and you can stretch the dose, and you can see more people show up, those people who avoid needles. Mm-hmm. It's an investment in changing a paradigm, but we have a better mousetrap.
So why didn't somebody else think of this 20 years ago? Seriously, I mean, was it that hard? It must have been hard to invent, or what was it?
Well, there are jet injectors focused on medications, but most everybody who started after this kind of long hiatus from that really old technology were going after the $10,000 drugs. And for us, we kind of refer to ourselves as the dollar a shot guys. We want to compete with needles and syringes. And the market is huge. It's 2.4 billion annual immunizations growing by 80 to 100 million bursts per year and more vaccines and disease threats being addressed all the time and a need for safety.
Well, has that vision, that massive vision of being, you know, changing how vaccines are delivered worldwide, has that made you more attractive to investors, or has it made them more skeptical? John, you're smiling. I'm going to ask you. Go for it.
No, I absolutely think for the large potential acquirer or investor, this would be very appealing. No question about it. It has scale. It has mission. It has worldwide market opportunities. And there's an inherent fear of needles mm-hmm. that are certainly prevalent, much less all the kinds of things Heather brought up.
Yeah. I think this is so cool that here's this world-changing product developed here in Colorado by Coloradans. I think it's
awesome.
Great. And we're going to come back for one more segment. We're going to talk with Heather Callender Potters of PharmaJet, John Kelly of Seriscan. This is Pro Business Colorado with Dave Tabor. You could check this out via proco360.com. Again, that's proco360.com. We'll be back after this.
News Talk 710, KNUS.
Pro Business Colorado with me, Dave Tabor, is a show featuring world-class entrepreneurs who could be successful anywhere and choose to be here in Colorado. Sign up at proco360.com for announcements of each week's guests, to suggest guests, and to find past shows featuring successful entrepreneurs and business experts, all whose souls are grounded here in Colorado. Again, that's proco360.com to sign up, proco360.com.
Pro Business Colorado with Dave Tabor, Sunday mornings at 8 on News Talk 710 KNUS.
How would you like to pay less than $100 for an entire year's worth of oil changes? Check out experienceprosdeals.com, because for a limited time only, Pride Auto Care is offering a full year of premium oil changes and tire rotation for 50% off. That's right, a whole year of oil changes and tire rotations for 50% off, less than $100. Pride Auto Care has convenient locations in Parker, Centennial, and Littleton. Colorado family owned and operated for over 25 years. price, honest service, and happy customers. They take pride in your ride. Check out experienceprosdeals.com and click on Pride Auto Care, where you can get a full year of oil changes and tire rotation for only $85. That includes 5 quarts of premium synthetic blend motor oil, oil filter, lube, tire rotation, and complete maintenance. Oil changes for a whole year at 50% off, brought to you by Pride Auto Care. Visit experienceprosdeals.com today while supplies last.
Hi, it's Peter Boyle. Start the new year off right. Make sure you don't miss a thing. Get your hearing checked. Hearing Rehab Center changed my life by helping me hear everything that I've been missing. Of course, these are the best technologies and best selections. These are the guys. My hearing aids are so small, nobody knows I'm wearing them. Call Hearing Rehab for your free consultation and find out what you've been missing. 18 Colorado locations. There's one near you. Call 303-800-9942. Visit them online, hearingrehabcenter.com. There's one near you, 303-800-9942.
Now, back to Pro Business Colorado with Dave Tabor on News Talk 710. KNUS.
Welcome back to Pro Business Colorado with Dave Tabor on 710 KNUS. I'm currently visiting with the leaders of two Colorado medical device companies that are both global leaders in their fields. Heather Callender Potters is co-chairman and global business development officer at PharmaJet, a Golden-based inventor and distributor of needle-free injection devices. Also, John Kelly, CEO of Seroscan, a Colorado-based functional brain diagnostics company. Also, I learned that aside from being a diagnostics company, you also are doing an amazing job collecting data, data that can be used for analysis, for comparison, and so forth. That's a big deal, isn't it, John?
Yeah, thank you for bringing that up. We are a cloud-based application, and what that means is that if you have a lot of information about people's brains, you then, in theory, can be able to compare your brain to your matching set.
Is any of this going to be done? Like now you lay down, and by the way, I want to thank our great sponsors before I move on. Thanks to Community Banks of Colorado and to MicroStar Keg Logistics. Neither is exactly in this world of medical devices, but they probably loan to people who are or help other companies like MicroStar Keg help companies succeed in Colorado. Thanks to them both. You know, John, as you're explaining this, the idea that you're collecting data so you can compare, I mean, do you think that at some point brain scans are going to be done sort of the way you do these full body cardiovascular system scans? Is that a natural
Absolutely, piece? And it's the value that you get from those scans. So on colonoscopy, breast scanning, things for orthopedic, that's all standard of care.
I would think as things like Alzheimer's and stuff are being researched so much that your brain scan data from Seroscan would be pretty important.
Well, absolutely, and we were just honored, Seroscan, being a participant in a national study funded by NIH and run by Eli Lilly on exactly that, the dementias, and specifically Alzheimer's.
Well, I think that's impressive stuff, and anytime, I would think both of you now have been recognized by NIH, right, and global health organizations. I mean, doesn't that help you sort of get the recognition you need to keep the momentum going?
It's certainly helpful. And friends in high places, if you will, that really are core to an impartial view of healthcare. Sometimes it's hard to penetrate into those organizations, but once they have validated what you're doing,
yep,
then it makes a huge difference.
So you were just on 60, well, you weren't really, but your product was just on 60 Minutes. There was a 60 Minute story about the Zika virus and about how... I keep wanting to say it was about PharmaJet. It really wasn't. But they were showing how vaccinations were being delivered effectively, and they were using the PharmaJet device, right, Heather? Was that just like, did you feel like you were on a Super Bowl commercial kind of thing?
It was really exciting. And the subtle thing that most people wouldn't understand is that it's a DNA vaccine. And DNA vaccines don't work with needles, but it turns out that they work with our injection very, very well. So we're actually... seeing that we're progressing from phase 1 to 2 now, that means the vaccine seems to be working. And it's really gratifying because the FDA is also supporting this initiative to fast track the development so that we may have a solution in even up to 18 months from now.
Well, that's very exciting from a world health perspective, right? It's got to also be exciting from a sort of a business inflection point, right? At some point, this is the world stage for your company. The thing you've always, when you started it, right? That was your vision, is to have this kind of level of visibility, and now you have it?
Yes. And we probably have, you know, 4 or 5 different examples, but it's really meaningful that we're collaborating a wide sense across the U.S. government. So we've had relationships with USAMRIID, BARDA, DARPA, Health and Human Services, CDC, NIH, FDA. And you don't do that overnight. To develop that credibility, our technology stands on its own. Safe, it's efficacious, yep, and it works.
All right, so shifting gears to be a little, I guess, backing up some. Things are, I mean, now you're really at a wonderful point in the life of your business. It probably, you and I talked a little bit, both of you, that things don't always go smoothly. You said you had a great story about something you had to do to really sort of overcome an obstacle at PharmaJet. Can you share that?
Yes. So in short, we had just received our third approval from the FDA device side of the FDA. When we learned that the biologics division wanted us to go do a study to prove that the vaccine worked, was the same as needles and syringes. And the way all of this happened was not very comfortable, because I actually learned through a reporter. We were in the middle of a nationwide rollout. I was in my last round of finance. Things were flying through our warehouse. We just scaled our technology with volume production. And all of a sudden, when somebody says, you can't use this, it doesn't work, and everything stops within 12 hours, it was probably the biggest heartache I've ever experienced, when there was absolutely no reason. No reason. And there's some 250 studies across vaccines historically demonstrating that the old technology works really well. And we had some ourselves, but the FDA wanted to have powered studies, and that's a large undertaking. So it actually took us a good 3 years to do all of that and come back to market.
So you were in the marketplace, and the FDA said, hold on. So then you had to essentially have no revenue and additional, what did it cost to do these studies?
It probably doubled the amount of money that I needed to raise for PharmaJet.
Wow.
And we were at a stage where we had our last round coming in, and I pulled it and said, I'm not so sure this is going to work out. So as a board, and I have some very wealthy investors, they underwrote around, and incrementally we invested and solved specific problems. And the great news is that we've demonstrated across a number of vaccines that it works. It's the same as needles and syringes, or better.
Well, one investor described you, a person who endorsed you, I found on LinkedIn, but for somebody who's been doing business with you, endorsed you as someone that investors can trust. So what is it about you, and that must be gratifying to hear and see, but what is it about your approach that allowed investors to say, wow, she's going to have no revenue now for 3 years, but we're going to pour money into this?
Well, we didn't know what it would take, because nobody provided
that doesn't
a
help
roadmap.
Either. That doesn't help
so
either.
So it was really black.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And the truth is that some people were so outraged that what we had done stood on its own, but for no reason, it seemed that we needed to start again.
People meaning investors.
Investors. That not only was it that we're going to persevere as a group to go forward and take the risk, but I think it's probably the tenacity that I have, that you never give up, and 80% of everything is showing up and asking for help. And what we were able to do within a short number of months is actually see that the FDA indirectly subsidized our study, and they've become a reference for us. And that has been a long time coming, but we've demonstrated that it works, it works, it works. And so there's incremental points where you can prove that you've done what you said you were going to do, and that next plan seems to be within reach.
If you don't fall apart in the meantime.
Right. It's what investors do when they say, I'm going to sign up for that risk.
Yeah. I mean, John, it sounds like you've been kind of nodding and listening. It sounds like it really comes down to poise, confidence, vision.
It gets back to the comment I made earlier. You invest in people.
Yeah,
I do think that cash and cash management for any startup is huge. So if you had one thing you needed to manage other than people, it's making sure you know about where is your cash, what bills do you owe, how long would that cash work for you, so on and so forth. So those combined together start giving people confidence that you know how to run a business.
Well, and I think that probably makes sense, to the extent that, right, investors see you carefully managing cash, doing what you can to put it where it needs to be, and that's
right.
So, if you've just joined us, I'm speaking with Heather Callender-Potters, co-chairman and Global Business Development Officer at PharmaJet. Also, John Kelly, CEO of Saraskan. And before we're out of time, I want to talk about what's different about starting a business in the medical device world, which that seems like it's maybe one of the most difficult places to start a company. So what did you, and neither of you had been in the medical device world before you were in your current companies, right? Right. You were running other kinds of businesses. What did you have to learn that's different about medical devices? One thing that comes to mind too is just the notion that it takes a lot more patience, doesn't it, to start? I mean, you just gave an example, but what have you had to learn that's different?
Well, FDA, NIH funding, FDA approvals, working through different medical silos takes a lot of time, a lot of coordination, some luck.
Well, and if your investors don't understand that, if you had the same investor who invested in some, you know, new hard drive or something, I know that's your background is in data, but you know, they might not understand the amount of patience it takes, and that could cripple you. Heather's nodding.
I think regulatory in any business environment is hard to navigate and increasingly harder. So when we started, the barriers in the medical device arena were not quite as high. I think the timelines have doubled in both device and drug development. And those are force majeure things. You don't start out thinking that things are going to change, but they actually do. So becoming reactionary and making sure that every single bit of what you've done so far stands on its own is hugely important in these kinds of industries.
Well, now in hindsight, that you have started and run successful medical device companies and companies that are gaining momentum in medical technology, is there anything that you think you've learned in this industry that would be applicable and helpful if you were running a faster paced, different kind of startup?
I think for sure it reinforces that you have to continue to upgrade your skills, upgrade your people as you go. So where you may have started and where you are today is really dependent upon growth, skills, knowledge, cooperation. And in many cases, what you started with may not be the kinds of things that you need to go forward. And so you have to be willing to make change.
Have you done that at Saraskan?
Quite a bit.
Like what?
At board level, replacing board members who are perfectly good friends, but trying to add talent like Heather to the board who can network in other industries or other funding sources or bring skills, employees where we needed to move from product to marketing development. So changing skills to match what you need for the company.
Yeah. Heather, thoughts?
I think we've experienced exactly the same, that simply because you start out someplace doesn't mean that you end there. There's a product life cycle. There's a personal life cycle for employees. And then technology changes. So if we think about almost any industry, the pace of innovation is outrageous. And no one can afford to simply rest and think that they are number one in their little marketplace. Because before you know it, you're not anymore.
Yeah. Are there people nipping at your heels now that you've invented something that the FDA, you're smiling?
There are people who try and use our claims. But the truth is that we are the only needle-free jet injection technology cleared for all tissue depths and focused on vaccines. So we actually compete with needles and syringes. And it would take a number of years to catch us to be where we are.
It's a good place to be competing against something that's inferior. And people know it. That's got to be fun. So, hey, I want to wrap up this conversation today. I've been visiting with the leaders of two Colorado-based medical technology companies that are global leaders in their fields. Thanks to Heather Callender-Potters, co-chairman and global business development officer at PharmaJet. PharmaJet's a Golden-based inventor and distributor of needle-free injection devices for vaccine delivery, approved by the FDA, having awesome run at this point. And also John Kelly, CEO of Saraskan, a Boulder-based functional brain diagnostics company. We've been discussing the process of inventing and bringing to market a medical device that's changing health at a global level. Be sure to check out this show via podcast, Pro Business Colorado with Dave Tabor. You can find it on SoundCloud. You can find it on iTunes. Also be available straight from my website at proco360.com. You can also go there to sign up for notices to find out who the next guests are. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.